Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Just about a minute after 8 o'clock, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Clouding up a little bit as we'll expect rain later on. We'll talk about that as we move on. But more importantly, each and every Wednesday, we talk with the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services for the Wealthwise Moment. We welcome Laureen Gilbert. Hey, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you this
day? I'm fantastic this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
All right. Now, right before we go on air, you had to play mom for a couple of minutes. Everything all right over there?
I did. My dog had gotten outside. I've got the people putting lights up on my house.
Right.
And didn't realize that the gates were open, and she just ran outside, ran to the alley, and she was off to the races.
and that's the point where they test you. They're like, well, let's see, maybe I can pretend not to hear mom calling my name.
Exactly.
I got to be honest. I'm shocked that you personally don't get up on the roof and do the lights yourself.
Oh my gosh. You know, I have some friends that do that, and I'm like, that's crazy. I'm helping the economy, Ed, by hiring someone else to do it. That is my philosophy. Hire somebody to do it.
Okay, well, speaking of hiring someone, what a perfect segue into my first question for you. So this morning we learned that 127,000 jobs had been added to the economy. And over the last several months, we talked about the possibility of our sweet spot being right around 200,000 jobs. For a while, right, we were adding too many jobs to the economy, and that was causing inflation to rise a little bit. Is 127,000 jobs way too slow? Is it way too much of a slowing down?
Well, it's something that the Federal Reserve is definitely going to look at. That's one of the things that they're going to be tracking as they're deciding on monetary policy and what is the way forward. So what it tells us is that things are slowing down, and there's this lag effect that we've talked about in the past of those rate increases, and then how does it actually come into the economy? And we've heard about a lot of layoffs, and that is continuing with the talk of large corporations that are laying off people. And then here we see a weaker number on new jobs added. So all of that will mean that slowly unemployment numbers will start to increase, which also means that the economy is slowing down.
Okay. All right. And we'll keep our eye on the I'm really, now that I got this number, I'm really curious to hear next month's numbers.
By the way, yes. another little fact is that we did have three jobs for available for every one person looking for a job.
Right.
That number has come down to 1.6.
Ooh.
Also tightening up quite a bit.
Right.
Still, there's, you know, jobs out there,
right,
more than there are people, but it's gone down from 3 to 1.6.
Right. So if I had three jobs, if I was looking and I had three jobs to choose from a couple of months back, now I've got just the one. I better jump on it.
1.6.
Okay.
So,
All right. Well, thank you.
However that works. That's just an average.
Yeah. I work full time one place and just a few hours somewhere else. Maybe. Who knows?
There you go.
So we're right in the middle of kind of biting our nails because Congress is racing to avert a disaster through a legislative fix over a potentially devastating freight rail strike. Talk to us for a moment about what that would mean if there was a freight strike right now. And is it a cynical attempt by rail unions to hold us hostage before the holidays?
So it would be massively disruptive if this strike went into effect. It would be massively destructive no matter what time of year it was, but especially during the holidays when people travel a lot and they use rail, you know, as one of the avenues of travel. But you think about it, there are a lot of Americans that use rail every day for commuting, even. So it would be massively disruptive. And that is why Pelosi has asked Congress, even though she's reluctant to do it, she's reluctantly asked them following Biden's plea to please intervene and pass a law and make this go away. But, you know, to your point, Ed, it is the labor unions really holding them hostage, knowing that they really don't have much of a choice because the economy is already slowing down and this would cause chaos and disruption. And, you know, we're already teetering on, you know, looking at probabilities of a recession next year, depending on which company you look at. It's anywhere from, you know, Goldman Sachs actually just came out and said they don't think we're going to go into a recession, but you have that to, you know, 50-50, we're going to go into a recession. Some people saying 60% not, 40% yes, but anywhere in that probability. So something like this could be that one thing that just kind of teeters up over the edge.
Right. We were talking yesterday here on the program about the air traffic controller situation in the 80s, that there are industries out there that can actually hold the country hostage. And President yeah. President Reagan stepped in and just fired a lot of them, really. And I kind of equate this situation with that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there are those industries, like you said, that can and we're dependent upon as a nation. You know, the thing is, we already had so much disruption with COVID, right? And then if we added something else, we don't want to become is like France, which goes into strikes, you know, seems like monthly, and the whole country stops and the country doesn't work well. And we don't want that here in the United States.
Right. It's a constant restarting of the economy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Later on this morning, we're expecting to hear from both U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and the Fed's Jerome Powell in separate conferences, in separate conversations, I guess, with the press. What are we expecting to learn? Will we learn anything new, or are they just going to reinforce what you and I have been talking about here for the last month or so?
Well, what we're looking at is to hear what Jeremy Powell says right now. It's the last speech that he's going to make at the Brookings Institute today before their policy meeting and then the announcement that they'll make as far as any rate changes. So we're listening to hear what he says because we've been hearing different Fed presidents speak, and there are differing opinions. You know, there's some that say, you know, we don't want to press on too hard and sounds a little dovish. And then we've heard some presidents sound a little more hawkish. Most recently, we heard, you know, the markets are over-exuberant in a way, expecting us to kind of slow down, and we're not going to. So all of that, we're looking for what Powell says as the chair to hear what his thoughts are. Now, it's a voting committee, right? So people have to vote together and then they come out with an outcome. But it will be interesting to hear if he has more of a dovish or more of a hawkish stance, what he really says that, and what financial data he brings up as far as what they are looking at. My expectation is still 50 basis points in December, which of course would be lower than the 475 basis point increases that we've seen of late.
Right. And you don't think anyway 25 points instead, right? You think 50?
No. Okay. I mean, I don't think that's a reality right now. I think they've made it clear, inflation has started to go down. And we've talked about that. And I think looking at our expectations for next year, it looks like it's going to come way down. And so even though consumers have been concerned and consumer sentiment is still quite negative, we still are expecting inflation to come down quite significantly in 2023.
Okay, thank you. I'm reading this morning that mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to raise the limits of government-backed loans to a record level for 2023, with the maximum loan limit hitting more than $1 million for high-cost areas. And even as the real estate market has cooled in the face of the skyrocketing mortgage rates that we've been seeing, home prices are still climbing, with prices up over 12%. What can potential home buyers look for in 2023? And does this really kind of first-time buyers, are they in the biggest mess here in 2023? Are people not, if you're selling a home, or would you be less likely to look at a first-time home buyer?
Yeah, no, I mean, so let me start at the beginning. So
okay, sorry. Thank you for unraveling this for me.
Going back to what you were saying about those conventional loan limits increasing to over $1 million. Now, you know, Orange County is the perfect example, because in all of Orange County, the average home price is $1.2 million.
Right.
Okay? So if you are in Orange County, you really need that conventional loan to go up to $1 million. And it helps borrowers, and it helps their mortgage rates be more reasonable than it may have been before. And we've already seen mortgage rates more than double from just a year ago. So when it was 3% to now 6.8%. So that is crazy amount of increase if you're trying to go out and buy a home. So in my mind, that loan increase limit is, I think, a good measure. Now, the people that are questioning that, you know, if you live in another part of the country, you know, in middle America, your average home price is nowhere like Orange County. Now, also, those limits are based on the median home prices, wherever that is in that area. So it is adjusted. So not everybody will have a conventional loan rate of $1 million, only in those high areas. And in my mind, it's good. The people who are like, why are we doing this? Is because ultimately the taxpayers are on the hook for that liability if the liability goes south. In other words, somebody doesn't pay.
Right.
Okay. So that's the negative side of it. But on the positive side of it, it is going to boost up housing again. Now, you can debate, is that good or bad? But, you know, with interest rates having shot up as high as it is hard for buyers, especially, like you mentioned, first-time home buyers. Now, as somebody is a seller, they just want to know they're going to sell their home. You know, they're not concerned whether that person down the road is going to pay it or not. They're concerned about getting the price that they want and getting somebody to buy their house. So it's going to continue. The effect of this, Ed, is a boosting of the real estate market once again.
Right.
Okay.
Beautifully explained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to explain to our audience your Facebook, the Facebook group that you've created. I find this fascinating, and I find it essential, and I love what you're doing. Tell our audience about your Facebook group.
So we've launched WealthWise for Women Facebook group, and we asked for any female investors to just go on there and request to join the group, and we will then, you know, accept that person into the group, and then that person can participate, and it's meant to be collaborative, educational. My passion is to help women be financially secure and financially independent, and so that group is part of us helping women accomplish that. And it is the precursor to my upcoming book that's going to be published hopefully in 2023, that's also called WealthWise for Women.
Fantastic. And how do we find you the rest of the time?
Yeah, wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, thank you so much for spending the time with us. I know you've got to get back on the roof and help those people with the lights for your house.
Thanks, Ed. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial Services, and the WealthWise Moment. 8:16 the time on the Mornings with Ed show. Money, 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 money.
Bye.